Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some really interesting topics today. I learned a term that I'm going to explain to you later in the show. We're also going to talk about how the Department of Labor is planning on continuing its push towards regulation, even though this is an election year. In the spring, in the Midwest, it can get a little stressful. So we're going to talk about planning for natural disasters. And then finally, I'm going to answer a question on how to save money for your children. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending February 16th, 2024. And in spite of some spectacularly bad days in the market last week, things ended up pretty much okay, with the Dow down a little over 0.1% and the S&P 500 down about 0.4%. The NASDAQ was down about 1.3% and gold was down 0.03%. Oil was up 2.29% and it's now currently $78.70 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude at the front month price. The 10-year Treasury yield went up again. It is now 9.81%, it went up 9.81%, and it is currently 4.284%. The dollar was up just a little bit at 0.05%, and Bitcoin went up 3.88%. So we've had a pretty good beginning to the year. Things are looking solid. The economic data keeps coming in really pretty good. There was a bit of a bump higher in inflation than people had hoped, but it's still down well under 3.5%. So it is nothing like what we were dealing with in 2022. And inflation can be pretty stubborn. As a point of reference, the long-term inflation average that a lot of financial planners use, because it's what the CFP Board of Standards recommends as a long-term rate, is 3.11%. And I think right now we're at 3.1, so we're not in any trouble at all in inflation if we want to look at it in a historical perspective. So a little bit of a market decline last week, not a big deal. I'm not afraid that it's leading to something scarier. Of course, you've got to watch your risk tolerance. Of course, you need to talk to your own financial professional, not just listen to somebody you heard on the radio. But I do feel as though what happened last week was pretty normal. So I learned a new term about saving for retirement. Now, I've heard of the FIRE movement, F-I-R-E, movement since well before COVID. And remember, the FIRE movement is where people try to save as much as they possibly can, hoping they can retire at a very, very young age. It kind of died down, no pun intended, after COVID, and I sort of thought that perhaps it had been a trend that was beginning to fall out of popularity. But there's still a lot of people who their primary goal is to be able to retire at an extremely young age. Personally, I don't understand it. I like to work. But you have to be careful. You have to be really careful in the traditional FIRE movement, because it takes an enormous amount of money to live for 60 years without working. So, you know, if you're going down that road, you've got to be careful. The term I had not heard until this week is something called Coast FIRE. So it's C-O-A-S-T and then FIRE. And it's a variation on the theme of the FIRE movement that I actually think might make a lot of sense. The whole idea is to try to save your money for retirement early. Now, that's still going to be very difficult. But then once you've saved that amount of money, you continue to work. But the theory here is you're coasting, that's where the term comes from, toward retirement. And you don't have to save for your retirement once you've saved enough money. Now, let me start out by talking about the biggest problem that I see here, which is actually the biggest problem that I see with the FIRE movement altogether. I don't think most people have any idea how much money they have to have saved. It was always my criticism of FIRE, and it's kind of my criticism of Coast FIRE. But what I do like about the Coast FIRE movement is it's encouraging you to save when you're young, and then you don't have to save as much when you get older. The advantage here is people can live on what they earn. They're not putting back as much. And they can have more time to take vacations. They can have more money to do the things they want to do. I think that this might be the beginning of something I've expected to see about how we define retirement. Not so much talking about coasting into retirement, but as to what retirement itself looks like. Especially now with the possibility of some jobs being done virtually. And I know every job can't be done virtually. And if you're in a job that can't, I'm not being blind to the fact that this doesn't work for everybody. I understand that. And I'm very, very grateful to those people who keep things on the shelves and do jobs that nobody else can do remotely. So let me throw that in as a real quick disclaimer. But I don't know that I think it makes a whole lot of sense in some people's jobs to plan on retiring at 65 and being in retirement for 30 years, living off your savings. Today, longevity is quite a bit longer than it was back when the whole idea of retire at 65 with your Social Security in the earlier part, what was it, the 1940s, I think. Don't hold that against me if I got that decade wrong. But people would retire at 65, and then they would be dead by their early 70s. And that's not how this is working. Remember, the people who are paying into Social Security were less likely to have hard manual labor jobs. Those jobs, when you weren't paying in, you like farming. You just simply worked until you died or until your kids took over the farm or something. So the people who were getting the benefits had a tendency to be more likely to be doing jobs that weren't quite as difficult physically. So you don't have to retire at 65 today. You've got maybe 30 years. 65 to 95 is the life expectancy I use when I do retirement projections. What if rather than actually thinking about retirement, we thought more in terms of Coast FIRE, which is save your money for retirement. And then I think that probably where the Coast FIRE people and I disagree is the age that you start going down this path. But at 60 or 62 or 65, you have money in savings and you can begin to do more things that you wanted to do. Or maybe even retire, well, get job two and then retire from job one. But job two might be something you've always wanted to do but didn't pay as much, or always wanted to do but didn't offer a retirement plan. I think the hybrid of retirement and work is going to get stronger and stronger. And I really think within my lifetime, and I'm 58, we're not going to see as many people retiring at 65. First, people want to continue to be active and vibrant. I have lots of clients who want to keep working, even though they could retire at 65, because they like their job. Or we'll see people switch off on jobs. So I think Coast FIRE is interesting. I think I want you to coast at a later age than they probably want you to. But I think it's worth thinking about your retirement options. Don't feel trapped in a box. Look at alternatives, and especially look at alternatives where you're earning a little bit of extra money in retirement.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I think at the beginning of the show, I said that there were some Department of Labor regulations that were going to be proceeding. In fact, it's the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. And I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong acronym. But the head of the SEC, Gary Gensler, is saying that he's going to continue on with the regulations that he's been proposing, even though this is an election year. Now, they've already taken 35 different initiatives through rules to try to basically get the securities market more regulated, more transparent. I have been in favor of all of the things they've been doing. He's been doing a lot of work within cryptocurrency and is intending to continue that because he still believes that there are things going on within crypto that don't make a lot of sense for within SEC rules. Now, remember, they did approve some exchange-traded funds that can be purchased on based off of crypto. But more basic cryptocurrency trading is still very much something that he is working on. There's 20 additional things that he is trying to get done during his tenure. Because remember, if there is a change in administration, then likely there would be a new head of the SEC. And maybe the new head of the SEC would continue with this. And maybe he or she wouldn't. Gensler swears there's no ticking clock. He's going to continue to proceed. Although sometimes these organizations rein back a little bit during presidential election years, but it doesn't look like he's intending to do that. He wants corporations to disclose more about how their actions impact the climate. He wants more cybersecurity risk management for brokerage companies. And that's a huge deal. And probably of everything that scares me the most because there's so many issues with hacking and things being broken into. And you can be doing everything correctly on your end as a user and have one of those 18 long alphanumeric strings of letters and numbers. And the problem isn't you, the problem is the company that you're doing business with, which is why if you're talking to especially financial institutions, there is nothing wrong with asking them what steps they're taking to avoid cybersecurity breaches. As little as my firm is, I have a whole cybersecurity protocol. And I always check to see what the protocols are of the businesses that I'm working with, because this is a huge deal. There's a big push to figure out what conflicts of interest that brokers and advisors can have. And they're trying to create a predictive way of looking at these conflicts of interest using artificial intelligence. Now, I will tell you, I don't know a lot about this, but as more information comes out, I think that's really interesting. Looking at how mutual funds price themselves, and then also trying to deal with shell companies a little bit more and gain a little bit more control over those. So there's all kinds of regulation that's being proposed. Like I said, so far, if I've thought anything, I haven't thought they've gone quite far enough, but they really are taking good, hard actions, and we'll be watching that to see what happens next. Department of Labor is also continuing its work during the election year, and their big push right now is the new fiduciary standard, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as well. But certainly all of this information is something that's worth your time to watch, or you can listen to the show, and I'll help you keep up with it.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And if you live in Norman, Oklahoma, like I do, you know that we are coming right up onto the one-year anniversary of some terrible tornadoes that went through about a quarter mile north of my house, which is way too close for comfort. But I think it's an important reminder that storm season is upon us. Now, for my friends who live closer to the coast, fortunately, you've got quite a while before hurricane season even begins, and you've got longer than that before the hurricanes tend to be too bad. But there have been flooding events recently. There's been landslides. Everything you can imagine right now has been going on with the weather. And there are some financial planning tips that I can give you that will help you make sure that everything is set up in advance of when you need for it to be. The first thing you should always do periodically is read your homeowner's policy. I know that it's a long document and I know that it's technical, but you really should periodically read it and make sure that what you own is still what your policy is covering. What's included? What's falling outside of protection? Do you need a rider or a supplemental policy to cover something that you own more of than your policy covers? If you're having trouble with this, you need to call your insurance agent, probably schedule either an in-person meeting or a Zoom meeting where you can share screens, and go through the policy slowly so that you understand what you own. And then if you're not sure, there is nothing wrong with getting off the call or leaving the meeting and then contacting the agent again about what you might or might not want to purchase. Remember that traditional flooding is not covered by policies. So weather-related flooding, whether that is a storm surge from the ocean or a creek that goes up too high or a river that's in the floodplain with homes in the floodplain, all of that naturally occurring water is not covered by your homeowner's policy. Instead, you need to purchase a FEMA, that's the government agency, FEMA, flood policy. They're not typically very expensive, even if you live in an area that's prone to flooding. But if you have a naturally occurring flood, your traditional homeowner's policy isn't going to pay off. If you have a pipe break, that's a separate situation. That's a man-made flood. I'm talking about natural floods. Again, your agent should be able to help you with this. Earth movement is also not usually covered by your homeowner's policy. Earth movement can be a lot of things. It can be a landslide. It can be a mudslide. It can also be an earthquake. It wasn't a month ago. It was about midnight in Oklahoma, and I heard this funny noise, and the cat freaked out, and then everything in the bedroom started to move. We had an earthquake. And we have started having earthquakes in Oklahoma to the point that sometimes to get the coverage, you have to buy a separate policy rather than just adding it as a rider. Sometimes you can add an earth movement rider to your traditional policy. Sometimes you have to purchase a second policy. You need to find out what that policy requirement is. And then if you live in an area that's prone to that sort of thing, it's coverage you should at least look at. Also, how much is your policy's deductible? Remember, the higher the deductible, the lower the annual premium, but you've got to be able to pay the deductible amount if you needed the coverage. So if you have a $5,000 deductible on your homeowner's policy, you need to be certain that you can pay the $5,000. If you can, that works great. On the other side, if you have a very, very low deductible and you're in a financial situation to be able to pay a higher deductible, you might be able to save on your premium. Remember that your life is valuable not only to you, but to the people who love you. So what you want to make sure that you have to help yourself in these situations is a weather radio, or maybe an adaptive feature to a fire or smoke alarm, or any kind of emergency response radios, so people can have vision impairment where they don't see things. You can get things that have loud noises. If you have hearing impairment, you can get something that flashes a bright light. I know someone who wears cochlears who is completely deaf at night, and she has fire smoke detectors in the bedroom and CO2 detectors in the bedroom that flash this incredibly bright light over her bed. The sound won't wake her up, but the light will. So make sure not only that you have the weather radio and you have the alarm systems, but that they are in a way, or for your parents, that they will be able to access the information. Way before a storm is on the horizon, you need to have copies of all of your important legal papers, including your insurance policy, and stow them in a go bag. I keep all of that together so that if I had a problem, I have it. You'll also want to make sure that if things look bad, you have your purse or your backpack, briefcase, cell phone, charger, maybe keep in the same bag that you have those papers, water bottles, bag snacks, clean clothes, batteries, portable power packs. Also make sure that you have a pet carrier with a bowl and some food stored inside. And then finally, even though this doesn't have anything to do with your financial well-being, I always have pictures or copies of pictures that it would just make me sick if I lost. Yes, I know most of us have a lot of our pictures on our phone, but my wedding pictures aren't on my phone. My wedding pictures are actually in an album. So I have made copies and I have that album where it's quick and easy to grab. You might want to store some extra gasoline, but be really careful that you store it safely. That's probably an outside thing. You might want a generator, but again, be very, very careful because people die because they use their generators incorrectly. I am not the safety police, so you need to talk to someone whose specialty is how to store gasoline and how to use generators to make sure you're doing everything safely, but it might make sense to have something on hand. If you have a storm shelter, make sure that it is registered with the city you live in, and that way, if there is a disaster, they know where you are. They can dig in and they can go down into the shelter and they can rescue you. So you're much less likely either to be stuck and nobody knows you're gone, or to be stuck while people are trying to figure out where the shelter is. Again, where I live, that's required. When you put a storm shelter in, you have to register it with the city, but I'm sure not all communities require that. If the community can't do it, make sure some out-of-town friends know where you are. Just something so that people can know where to start digging in case there's a crisis. So you should talk to your insurance agent. You should talk to your own financial planner, because I may have forgotten things that are really important for you. And we want to make sure that as we go into storm season, we have everything prepared.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I had a really great time this last Saturday, which would have been, the 17th of February. And I posted it on my social media. If you're not following my social media, you probably should. It's going to be under Peggy Doviak Author is going to be the page that you're going to find this on. And I was at the Sepulpa Library. I did an in-person discussion, and then I answered questions on a Facebook Live. So if you go to my Facebook page, to Peggy Doviak Author, you can see the Facebook Live. It was supposed to be an interview, but they put out a request for questions, and I got so many questions that I answered questions for 30 minutes, and there really wasn't much of an interview to it. But one of the questions that I got that is such a good question, I get it fairly often, is, Peggy, I want to start saving money for my child. What are some good vehicles to use? And saving money for your kids is fabulous. What I should have included Saturday is make sure your own finances are in order first. Make sure you have an emergency fund. Make sure you're adequately saving for your retirement. And then putting aside money for children for either college or for when they're grown or older or need something is great. There's several ways you can do that. First, you can open an UTMA account for them or an UGMA account, Uniform Transfer to Minor Account, or Uniform Grant to Minor Account. You can fund these with cash or with securities, depending on whether you open it at a bank or at a brokerage firm. The problem with these accounts is they are the property of the child. When that child is 18, whether you think they're ready for the money or not. So maybe things are going great, and maybe they've decided to form a garage band, and you don't really want to be the funder of that. The minute it's in an UTMA or an UGMA account, you lose all control of it as soon as they reach the age of majority. An easier way to handle it is to have it in an account in your name and just set aside. So maybe a savings account, or maybe CDs, or we talked about EE bonds. The interest is now better on EE bonds. It's been historically very bad, but in this higher interest rate environment, they're a better option than they used to be. Or a brokerage account. If you think your child is probably going to go to college, putting money into your state's 529 plan is an excellent strategy. Super easy to open online. You don't need a financial professional to do it. You open the account, and then you can put aside a fairly large amount every year, $15,000, $16,000, without getting into trouble with gift tax rules, back for college. Most people don't come anywhere close to this amount, but if grandparents or aunts and uncles or friends want to contribute money, it can all go into that 529 plan, and everything works fine. Here's the thing that concerns most people. What if your child doesn't go to college? Or what if they go to college and they have just this magnificent free ride scholarship? Well, the Secure Act 2.0 that passed in 2022 has now allowed for up to $35,000 that's been in a 529 to roll over time into a Roth IRA for the named beneficiary of the 529. So let's put that in English. That means that if you've got $35,000 or less in the 529 plan, you can have that child make the annual contribution limit from the 529 into that year's limit into the IRA. So $6,500, $7,000. It's a rolling target, so you'll want to track it. And they can transfer the money out of the 529 into the Roth in their own name, no taxes, no penalty, no loss of anything. Then remember that the only penalty you pay on a Roth is the 10% penalty on the growth along with its taxation. That's not the worst penalty in the world, and this Secure 2.0 has opened up 529 plans to being much better options than they used to be.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.